29 is adopted. If you could please read item 1330.
1330, pay claim of Ty Jarul in the sum of $90,000 involving the Portland Police Bureau.
Okay, I believe we have a presentation
here.
Just a short one. Good morning, commissioners. My name is Becky Chow. I'm with the Risk Management Division of BIBS, the Bureau of Internal Business Services. Bill Manlove of the City Attorney's Office is here with me. We have an ordinance before you to approve a settlement of a claim reached in mediation with Ty Garulli and his attorneys. The claim stems from an incident on Sunday, September 14th, in the St. John's neighborhood when Mr. Garulli, who was 16 years old at the time, was arrested by police on charges including assaulting a public safety officer and resisting arrest. There was force used in the arrest, including the use of a taser, punches, and knee strikes. In March 2015, Mr. Garulli was found not guilty of all charges, and the judge who presided over the trial in juvenile court ruled that the officers did not have a legal basis to stop or arrest him. Attorney Stephen House, who represented Mr. Garulli in juvenile proceedings, filed a tort claim notice with the city and made a demand for $5 million to compensate Mr. Garulli for physical injury and emotional distress. At the claimant's request, the parties entered into settlement discussions before a lawsuit was filed. We engaged former Chief Justice Paul DeMunez as a mediator, and we had multiple mediation sessions before agreeing to settle the claim for $90,000. This includes Mr. House's fees of a little more than $32,000. At the request of the claimants, the rest of the settlement money will go to an annuity company to be paid out to Mr. Garulli over time. If you have any questions regarding the settlement, Bill and I are here to try to answer them. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions? Okay. Thank you both. Anybody wish to testify on item 1330?
Joe Walsh and Celia Hassan.
Okay, and I see Dan Handelman also wishes to testify, so if the three of you could, is there a third person? Sure, why don't you come up here and have a seat, and then when you're, well, we'll start with you. If you just give us your name and you have 3 minutes.
Okay, my name is Celia Hassan. My question is actually on, it's related to police and excessive force, but it's on an incident that just occurred, so I don't know if I signed up under the wrong agenda item to speak. Can I speak?
Well, this is this relates to a particular settlement, so,
okay, so
you need to address the subject matter. Yes.
Okay, so I guess I don't need to speak right now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Handelman.
You go first, I'll go first. It's you. My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. We had a terrible time with this settlement. First of all, I want to be very clear that we support the settlement because apparently that was the agreement with the lawyers and the plaintiff in this case, and we don't want to touch that. What we want to touch is the incident that happened. And the incident that happened was a group of people were crossing the street. They were approached by a group of cops. And they were beat up. One of them was tased. One of them was beat severely. So bad that they filed a civil lawsuit for millions of dollars. And they settled it. None of our business. That's their business. Our business is, what happened to those cops? Let me read you what the judge said. The judge who heard the case acquitted the plaintiff of all charges, stating she had found the officer's version of events to not to be credible and that a reasonable person would have concluded that the officers used excessive force. She also ruled that they didn't even have the right to stop them. No right. They were crossing the street. They weren't doing anything disruptive. They were crossing the street. This is one of the things that we really concern ourselves with. Apparently, and I'm guessing at this, this person probably mouths off to the cops. I'm guessing at that. Because that's what I would have done. I would have mouthed off. And I guess I would have been beaten. And I would have been saved. And I would have been dragged to jail. And there was a video that showed up that showed that the cops perjured themselves. So what happened to the cops? Our police commissioner is absent, AWOL, probably on another one of his trips. So I don't know who to, you know, say. I guess the president, you can carry the message to him. What happened to those cops? Are they still on the force? The history of this police force is if you get into trouble, we're going to promote you. Just like O'Day. Shoot your friend and we'll promote you. So that's what we have trouble with. This is $90,000, not a lot of money for the anguish that this guy has gone through. But I would think Commissioner Salzman and Commissioner Fish, since you're up for re-election in a couple of years, you would really start looking into these cases and say, what happened to these cops? Were they reprimanded? Were they promoted? Were they sent to the sheriffs like Reese? What do we do with them? That's what we're interested in.
Thank you.
And I know my time is up. And you ought to learn how to run a meeting because you don't know what you're doing. You were wrong 4 times. I counted already. Major mistakes. So read parliamentary procedures.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. Mr. Handelman.
Good morning. My name is Dan Handelman. I'm with Portland Cop Watch. I want to echo a lot of the things that Mr. Walsh said. In September 2014, Ty Gurulli was a teenager, African-American young man who was essentially stopped for walking while black. He was ended up being beaten, kicked, and hit with a taser. And as Mr. Walsh said, the judge found the officer's testimony was not credible. One of the officers, Betsy Hornstein, posted that she liked the I Am Darren Wilson badges on other officers' Facebook pages just a couple of weeks later. And this happened just about a month after Michael Brown was shot and killed in a very high-profile incident across the country. You can't wonder why Mr. Gurulli and his friends wanted to walk away from the police that night. As Mr. Walsh speculated, there's no mention of here in the settlement or nor has there been any in public about what findings have been issued by the IPR's administrative investigation into this case. It's not clear whether the family is appealing those findings if they're not in their favor. We often send out emails to our constituents about these things, and I don't always hear back from people, but several people wrote in with the same questions Mr. Walsh raised. What happened to these officers? Why is the money coming out of the city's pocket and not the officers' pockets? In discussing the changes to IPR at the stakeholder group this past week, it came up that the city's looking to cut out public comment at appeal hearings because of the binding arbitration clause, and they were afraid that it's going to overturn a sustained finding. That's extraordinarily frustrating since the city had the opportunity to remove that clause from the contract, and that was supposed to be the lesson you learned from the firing of Ron Frashauer and the appeals that you filed. That's what we learned, is the problem is the binding arbitration clause. But institutional momentum overcame the desire for change in that case. I'm sorry Mayor Hales isn't here. I wanted to address that in the Portland Tribune. He claimed that no African-American community member was killed, was shot by the Portland police during his tenure. He may have meant that none were killed. But on September 1, 2014, about a week and a half before this incident, Denoris McClendon was shot by the Portland police. And he not only was African-American, but he also has mental health issues. Luckily, he survived. There have been 14 officer-involved shootings in Mayor Hales' 14-year tenure compared to 16 under Mayor Sam Adams. 7 of the 14 under Hales died, 8 died under Adams, so it's 50% mortality rate under both mayors. Most of the people under Mayor Hales have been in mental health crisis, despite the DOJ being here to reduce the use of force in such cases. One of those killed was Latino and a veteran, and at least 3 were homeless. So it's not a great measure of reduction of police use of force. The mayor also likes to claim that he's fired more officers than his predecessors, but according to IPR records, he's only fired 3 in the last 3 years, and there were 6 under Mayor Adams. To his credit, at least one of the officers was Dean Reister, who was fired after shooting Will Monroe, but that was an extraordinary case.
Okay, Mr. Hamill, your time is up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, it's an emergency item. Please call the roll.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye. Okay, the 1330 is approved, and